This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, good to have you with us right here on a it's not really a throwdown Thursday anymore. Liddell's coming up at, I think, 4 o'clock for Craig Hoffman in 2 hours. So he will be on the air, but he will be following us. And instead, we're talking, of course, throughout the first full hour and now into hour number two about tonight's NHL Four Nations face-off final. Team USA, Team Canada in Boston. Joining us now is one of the smartest hockey guys in the world. He covers the NHL, the Caps, for the Associated Press, number one. He was in Montreal for the opening set of games before this, the Four Nations shifted to Boston, covering that. And you can follow him on Twitter at S-W-H-Y-N-O, at S-Wino for Steve Wino of the Associated Press. My friend, how are you? Appreciate your time. Thank you for doing this. Oops. There it is. I forgot to hit the damn button. Sorry about that. How are you, Steve?
I'm great, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you making some time. I know you were at Caps practice today, but before we get there and the resumption of the second half of the season, you were in Montreal to start this thing. You are, again, and I'm not saying this because, you know, you're on the air with me. I mean, I say it to anyone. You're one of the smartest hockey minds I know. You love it. You crave it. You live it. You know, I love the sport of hockey, always have. What was it like? Let's start here. What was it like to actually be immersed in it? Because you've covered so many Stanley Cup finals, so many big hockey moments over the years. What was it like in Montreal last week?
It felt like the Olympics. It felt like a pared-down version of the Olympics. It really did. And you're right. I've done a few of those and Stanley Cup finals, and it was among the more intense, fun atmospheres I've ever been a part of in any sport. But like, these guys took it seriously, and the crowd was just into it. I mean, I think from knowing these guys and talking to them so much, the players involved and the coaches, I knew they were going to take it seriously. I just wasn't sure kind of what the reaction would be in the building, and it was amped. It was better than you're going to find at the Olympics. It was in line with Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last year when it was Edmonton in Florida, and everybody's a ball of nerves. And you know, really, it actually felt like a Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Mm-hmm. It felt like sort of just like all this buildup for this moment. It's been so long since we've had best-on-best international hockey, dating back to the 2016 World Cup of Hockey, and even that with the sort of blended teams wasn't the same. So it's been more than a decade now, a generation of players who haven't been there. It was something special. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Is that, do you think, was that elevated because it's Montreal and kind of the cathedral of hockey? Or meaning, if it was in, let's just say, Los Angeles at the Staples Center, would it have been the same atmosphere, do you think?
Yeah, I think it would have been still good, but it was absolutely elevated by being in Canada, by being in Montreal. And I lived in Toronto for 2.5 years a bit ago, and Toronto's more of a Maple Leafs town. Mm-hmm. Montreal is a hockey town.
Yeah.
You could play a Seattle Kraken Detroit Red Wings game there, and it would sell out. And so when you have kind of the reverence of the sport there, the history, the banners hanging from the rafters, all the championships. Just and it's not the old Montreal Forum, but still, the Bell Center may be the best arena in the NHL. Like Vegas is pretty great. There's some other good ones. But in terms of mixing history and sort of modern, like, love of the game, there's not a bad seat in the house. It's just people care about hockey, and they know it. Like when there's a big hit from Charlie McAvoy on Connor McDavid or a nice move that a player makes, there's an appreciation of it there because everybody knows the sport really well and loves it like it's their lives. And I think having it there was perfect. You could have almost had the entire tournament there, and it wouldn't have lost any luster whatsoever.
I totally agree. I mean, and I've never been up there, but I've watched so many damn games there, both at the old Forum and at the Bell Center. And again, it was the perfect setting. The NHL pretty much did this as good as you can probably do it. And that leads us, you know, to this. Do you think they are... I mean, because I heard Bettman on with Mad Dog on Sirius XM yesterday, and he was like, no, we thought it would be good. Maybe it's reached a level that we weren't quite expecting. I mean, do you think this is a smashing success in their eyes, or is this what they dreamed up when they were able to get the players' union to be on the same page as them?
I think it has exceeded expectations of basically everyone involved. And this is what the NHL wanted to put on a World Cup of Hockey a year ago. The Russia-Ukraine war threw a wrench in sort of those plans. This is the adjustment on the fly to, we really want to deliver something. We want to have an event that's international hockey because these guys really care about this. It's not like the World Baseball Classic where there's sort of no real tradition in the sport of representing your country. And to bring that back with the idea of this, for everybody to buy in. And I had coffee with one of my friends who lives in the Montreal suburbs the other day, and she said, look, I needed to see it first before I realized how great it would be. Because there was a question of, would this feel more like an All-Star game? Would it feel like the World Cup 9 years ago? Would it feel like a Stanley Cup final? And it feels like a Stanley Cup final every single game. And the ratings have shown it. 10 million people watching the other night. It could be 10 million again tonight across North America. I mean, you're talking almost a third of Canada watching this. It's incredible. I think it's exceeded the expectations for everyone who wasn't knowing they're going to play in it. Because I think the players knew after all this time that it was going to be a life or death game. Sidney Crosby clearly playing hurt. Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk clearly playing hurt. They're acting like this is an actual legitimate championship, even though this is a one-of-its-kind tournament that will never happen, has never happened before and will never happen again. Everyone has bought into it from the outside. I think that's from someone who's sort of on the inside of this and kind of was able to feel it. That's what's been, I think, gratifying for everybody who was pumping this tournament up. Everybody watching this has been excited, almost mm-hmm. as excited as those playing in it.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I missed some of your explanation, but I could hear the passion in your voice. J.P. Finley was in here driving me crazy and saying, how come you didn't text him back? No, I'm just teasing.
I was a little busy last week, J.P.
I was just busting your chops. But I got to be honest with you, and I heard Ben Raby say this morning with Kevin Sheehan, and I thought this as well. Now, again, you know I'm a big hockey fan. I am not like a fly-by-nighter who just gets into the Capitals, and Capitals are over, right? You know I love the sport. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't that into it until it started, and the overtime thriller, Canada and Canada and Sweden. Right. I mean, that helped, and I was watching it, but it was kind of on in the background until, oh wow, look at this, man. So I really wasn't into this. How did they get this intensity that we just don't see when there's no gold medal on the line, when there's no big financial purse on the line, when the Stanley Cup is not on the line? It strikes me as, like, hockey athletes care more about country pride than I think maybe any other athletes outside of maybe baseball players from the Dominican and Cuba and all that stuff. Is that fair?
I think there's something about putting on that U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland, then you can extend that to Czech and Slovak and Russia jersey that just brings something out of these guys. I said this about Sidney Crosby the other night, that he was elite for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Helped that team win 3 Stanley Cup championships, was playoff MVP twice. But he puts that Maple Leaf on, and he's Superman on ice.
Yeah,
it's just these guys care. Like, I think that's what people may have underestimated or almost forgotten about, because it's been so long, Chris, since a tournament of this kind, that, like, the World Championships happen every spring, but it happens at the same time as the Stanley Cup playoffs. So you don't have the best on best. You don't have the teams where guys are going are on teams eliminated from the playoffs, and it's a little bit of a spring vacation and that sort of thing. It's been so long since we've had this kind of tournament that I think people almost forgot how much guys care about this. And I know Gary Bettman and I have talked about this a lot, that in this last the CBA negotiation in 2020 to resume the season, that Gary Bettman had said, we're not going to use this as a negotiating tactic. We know players want to go back to the Olympics, so we're going to make this happen. The Beijing Olympics was a pandemic scheduling issue, but they wanted to go. Players really care about this, and it does come at the risk of injury. Vegas lost Shea Theodore to what we think is a broken wrist. Sidney Crosby is playing through injury and may not be in the Penguins lineup when he comes back. Charlie McAvoy with the shoulder. Like, guys are getting hurt in this tournament, and owners at some point just have to realize this is part of exposing the game to new audiences. I'm sure there are people watching ESPN either last week or TNT or watching ESPN tonight who've not watched hockey regularly. Mm-hmm. If they watch this, if this is the first taste of hockey you ever see, you're hooked immediately. Whether it's in the building, whether it's on television, I know it's a difficult TV sport for some, given how small the puck is and all of that. But if this is your first taste of hockey, you're like, I am all in on this. It's just been a remarkable showcase of the sport, from the fights the other night, that Sidney Crosby no-look pass to Nathan MacKinnon, Mitch Marner's overtime winner. All of these things have just been lightning fast speed.
The intensity is incredible. Yeah,
I've seen a lot of hockey games in my life. I still think U.S. Russia and Sochi, the TJ Oshie shootout game, was the greatest, fastest game I've ever seen. Sweden Finland at the Olympics in 2006 for the gold medal was number two, and that U.S. Canada game the other night might have been number three. I don't think there's an NHL game that can top what international hockey delivers.
So from a tactical and from a player standpoint, right? Cale Makar was out Saturday night, and if I'm remembering that correct, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's back tonight. Obviously, McAvoy is out tonight. They didn't even allow Quinn Hughes, who was supposed to come up and replace him. I guess the Vancouver doctor shut him down. That was kind of a weird situation. So Team USA is a little bit thinner, if you will, than they were Saturday night. How does that specific part of the script, if you will, play out tonight and affect the outcome in your eyes?
The U.S. is significantly weaker without Charlie McAvoy in the lineup. And the reason why they couldn't dress another defenseman is because they have Jake Sanderson, who was Quinn Hughes' replacement, healthy and active. And they weren't going to make up some fake injury for Jake Sanderson just to bring somebody else here. He was their number seven for a reason, and they want to play their top six defenseman. But yeah, this is a tougher sort of a matchup now, because you had McAvoy playing with Zach Werenski, able to play against either the Sidney Crosby line or the Connor McDavid line. And I'm just my head spinning thinking about being Mike Sullivan trying to figure out how you stop a combination of either Sidney Crosby with Mitch Marner or Nathan MacKinnon with Sidney Crosby or whatever. Like, these are all-star lines that you're now going to have to defend without arguably your best or your second best defenseman. That hurts, and certainly Matthew Tkachuk, Austin Matthews, and Brady Tkachuk are all not 100%. They're all playing hurt. It seems to be advantage Canada, even after watching that game the other night, except for the X factor and goal of the U.S. having maybe the best goaltender in the world and Canada not.
You mentioned the Tkachuk brothers. Obviously, they were very involved in those three fights in the first 9 seconds on Saturday night. I don't expect the same type of script, if you will, tonight. You'll see a fight probably, and you'll see plenty of physical chippy play, but would you be surprised if we get, you know, kind of a, not a bloodshedding, but, something like what we got on Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I think these teams are going to be very down to business, and I think you'll see big hits. I think you'll see guys finishing checks and all that sort of thing. I don't think you're going to see any fights. If the game gets out of hand, one way or the other.
Good point.
You could see sort of that, because, and Gary Bettman has said sort of about this tournament, it's an appetizer for the Milan Olympics a year from now.
Yep.
That these national teams are going to see each other again a year from now, whether it's in preliminary round play or in the medal round or whatever. That this is a message sending game. No matter what happens, no matter who wins it, that is going to set up for the next time these teams play in Italy a year from now.
All right, one more on this. You mentioned the Winter Olympics in Italy. The World Cup, right, is 2 years from now. They're going to bring
that back. 3 years from now.
Back?
It'll be 3 years from now. 2028.
3 years from now. Okay. So yours, and did I hear you wrong? You said, you know, we don't know if we're going to get the Four Nations face-off thing ever again. I mean, what are they going to do in the... I guess the reason why they would do it every other year is, A, not to burn anybody out, but also it requires a two-week shutdown of the league.
Exactly.
Right?
And so essentially they're going to get on a calendar of every even-numbered year having an international tournament. The goal is to have a World Cup of Hockey in 2028 and 2032, go to the Milan Olympics in 2026 and the Olympics in the French Alps in 2030, and then in those odd number of years you have an All-Star game, and you move it around North America. Seattle's going to get one. It's going to be at UBS Arena, the home of the Islanders,
right,
next year as a send-off to the Olympics,
right?
Which will be interesting to see. But the problem is you can't do it every year. It's going to lose its luster. But this was a tournament that was put together in a very weird geopolitical time where you can't have players from Russia involved. You want to do a tournament with all NHL players. You don't have enough guys from Germany, Switzerland, Slovakia, some of these other places to do a bigger tournament. The goal is to do that sort of tournament in 2028. So imagine what this is right now and double it in size and make it basically like an Olympic tournament all run by the NHL.
Mm. Steve Wino from the Associated Press with us on the BetQL guest hotline. All right, you were at Caps practice earlier today. They return to the ice Saturday in Pittsburgh. You already mentioned, you know, we don't know about Crosby and whatnot. Then they come back for Edmonton on Sunday afternoon in the first home game in over, I guess it would be exactly 2 weeks then. Any sense of... whether this rest, because the worst part about this for hockey fans in this area that only care about the Capitals and not the sport, which drives me crazy. I don't know how you feel about that. The worst part of this is there was no Capitals involved in this, so they're all rested, but that could hurt you or that could help you. Any sense as to how they feel?
I think they think it is a benefit coming out of this, that everyone is rested and refreshed. Like, you're going to have the Edmonton Oilers playing in Philadelphia on Saturday, and then here, maybe without Connor McDavid for one or both of those games. You have teams sort of with mixed rosters coming back to practice, and everybody's on the same page. Players were able to take vacations wherever they went and kind of reset and refresh their season. I think it's especially great when you have a guy like Alex Ovechkin, who's 39 years old, that he was able to rest his body for almost a full 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To take some time off the ice and sort of rejuvenate. Not that he hasn't played great for all this season and on the verge of this Wayne Gretzky record, but for him to get a chance at his age to rest and sort of mentally and physically refresh. I know that was Spencer Carberry's line before the break. I think this is a good mental reset for everybody when you're playing a lot of hockey. It's a really long season. You kind of break up the monotony a little bit. I think the outdoor game in Raleigh a couple of years ago was that a little bit. But just to get away from it, I think, is a benefit. But look, there could be some rust. You could have teams like the Florida Panthers, who had 8 guys at the tournament, come back firing on all cylinders because those guys are all full of confidence and all that and kind of rolling along. There might be a little bit of rust involved, but I think long-term, as play starts to stretch into March and into April, it's going to have some long-term benefits that these guys were able to rest for a week and a half.
Agree. My friend, I know you've been a busy, busy bee. I appreciate you as always. Thanks for doing this and squeezing us in and placing us as a priority over J.P. Finley. I appreciate that. No, I'm just teasing.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm just teasing.
Enjoy the hockey tonight, and I already texted JP to apologize.
We were just busted chops. No big deal. But I like to tweak horns a little bit and have a little fun and make it as awkward as I can. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you. Steve Wino, of course, was at the Caps practice today as they get going Saturday in Pittsburgh, but more importantly was at the Four Nations faceoff in Montreal for the Associated Press. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, at S Wino, WHYNO. Make sure you check him out in the Associated Press, online. And just quickly, real quickly, if overtime is needed, and you know, certainly could be, it would be Stanley Cup playoff format. 5-on-5, 20-minute periods, sudden death, winner. Now, I wasn't aware of this. I must have missed this in my process of not really caring about this until it started. The winning team apparently gets a trophy. It's not the Stanley Cup, but they apparently get some sort of gold medals. Now, it's not an Olympic gold medal, but they're actually giving out like gold medals and a cash prize. Interesting. The NHL has made some cash on this. Good for them. Good for them. Good for the players, too. Good for the players how much they care. All right, 220. We'll take a timeout. We'll start to move away from this. We'll start to get into some Commanders and NFL stuff. I also want to get into something on the Wizards that I found today in the Post that I want to get into a little bit as well. Micah Parsons and Lawrence Taylor? Huh? Kind of, sort of going at it? Kind of? We'll tell you what that's all about, and more. You want to mix in your calls, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, AMAC, you're a hardworking guy. You have another job before you get here, right? Yeah, I mean, you're over at the big satellite in the sky, right? So you're working hard. So you get here, and you know, you got to deal with me, which is tough enough. Although I'm not a, I'm fairly easy to work with, what have you. But sometimes we get a little reward for all of our sacrifice and our hard work, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody brings in free food, mm-hmm. whether it be a sponsor, whether it be, you know, JP and B. Mitch have Ahmed who brings in lunch all the time. Sometimes, you know, again, individuals like, you know, occasionally I'll buy lunch for everybody, whatever, or I'll make something. So through the glass window, I see corporate Ryan Clary, who is Grant and Danny's like 14th associate producer, go out and get a couple of slices of pizza.
Ooh.
Right? That were brought out of the studio as JP and B. Mitch, their show wrapped up. Which signifies generally that it's for everybody. Okay. So I saw Clary go and grab a fistful of pizza. I couldn't tell how many slices, but it looked like an abundance of pizza. So I went out during the break expecting to get a slice of pizza. Right? Leftover, fine. I'm not complaining. It was very nice of them to bring it in.
Yeah.
I got two empty pizza boxes.
What?
There was no pizza. There was no buffalo wings, which there were the previous break. Somebody had eaten those, but at least they threw out that box. Clary took the last couple of pieces of pizza and left two empty pizza boxes in place instead of throwing it out, which A, is incredibly lazy, B, indicated to me that there was pizza left in the box. And instead, Darris Dameron and I only got French fries, and you didn't get anything.
Yeah, well, I just ate, so that's not. But wow, I guess he thought because he brought it in, he can just.
He didn't even bring it in. It was Ahmed, who's JP and B. Mitch's friend.
Wow.
He didn't even bring it in. He finished it, took three slices of pizza,
three,
and didn't throw out the damn boxes.
Class act.
I mean, you see the scoundrels we have around this place? Anyway. I wanted to do this real quickly before we go anywhere else and before I leave it. So, Micah Parsons, who everybody knows, is a dynamic pass rusher, great individual player, all of that, right? So he is very outspoken, best way I could say it. I don't view him in the Draymond Green outspoken level, but he's very outspoken. He's got his podcast. He's always on social media, what have you. I mean, a lot of people seem to like him. You know, I have no feeling one way or the other for him. He plays for the Dallas Cowboys. He's a great player, what have you. He's going to make a lot of money. Mina Kimes throughout this thing, he's over the last two seasons, Micah Parsons ranks first in pressure rate, first in pass rush win rate, first in double team rate. Okay. Now there's some talk, and there has been some talk about the Dallas Cowboys not paying Micah Parsons, maybe moving on, what have you. Then what was interesting was Lawrence Taylor, who is arguably the greatest individual player in NFL history. I mean, again, you can make an argument for certain people and all that, quarterbacks. And like Lawrence Taylor, I mean, he did a lot of weird stuff off the field, right? I mean, he struggled. And even long after his playing days, still continued to get in trouble. Right? People don't remember that. But Lawrence Taylor, if he's not number one, he's like at minimum number three on any qualified list of the greatest NFL players of all time. That's how good he was. But apparently, he's got a little bone to pick with Micah Parsons. He said Micah Parsons should play more football and do less podcasts. And I thought, Hmm, that's interesting. Now, obviously, there's the, hey, man, what is it, the throw stones at glass houses kind of thing, right? Right, like LT, man, you were unfreaking believable. But, dude, you have had so many issues. What are you doing? And then on the other hand, you say, wait a second. He's not saying six of one, half dozen of the other. He's not talking about personal problems like, oh, Micah Parsons keeps getting arrested. Micah Parsons keeps getting suspended for drugs. He's just saying, man, you know, a little less talking, a little less podcasting, a little more playing of football would make you better, would make the Dallas Cowboys better. And I started to think, is that a reasonable opinion? I guess it's reasonable. But again, Micah Parsons has been so damn good. The only thing you can maybe knock him for is that the Cowboys obviously stunk this year and that he missed four games. That's it. What else are you knocking him for? So even though Lawrence Taylor is not, like, people are treating it as six of one, half dozen of the other, an eye for an eye. Lawrence Taylor was in all sorts of trouble during his career, after his career. And Micah Parsons isn't. How could he say such a thing? I don't know if that's what Lawrence Taylor was basically in his mind comparing it to. He's just more saying, hey, man, you do a lot of talking and you haven't done a lot of winning. And just play more football. But that's easy for him to say. When Lawrence Taylor was playing and ripping people up, there were no podcasts. There was no social media. There was no none of this bullcrap that we see and deal with. So what I would say is I think people are leaping to the wrong conclusion when they say, well, how could Lawrence Taylor say that when he did what he did? Yeah, not a good look. Not a great look. He probably should have stayed out of this. But I just think it's a guy who doesn't understand today's social media and today's podcast world and today's media expression world. That's what I think it is. Not Lawrence Taylor shaking his finger and telling Micah Parsons he's lazy or not good or not he doesn't hustle or he doesn't play hard enough or he doesn't care enough. I just think it's an old man that doesn't understand. Is that fair? Or do you have a different spin on it? You tell me. 301-230-0980. Back to your calls. Back to the Four Nations face-off. We'll get into some Commander stuff and some other NFL stuff right after the top of the hour. Or right after here, the bottom of the hour, I should say. Bottom of the hour. Trending alert right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we spent the first hour and 20 minutes or so. Steve Wino of the Associated Press joined us. He was in Canada for the first part of the Four Nations face-off. And tonight, the Four Nations face-off comes to a conclusion. Final game, Canada and the U.S. Of course, the U.S. winning 3-1 on Saturday night in Montreal. But as we discussed with Wino, certainly some different injury situations that are coming from that game. Charlie McAvoy won't be there for Team USA. Meanwhile, Kale McCarr will for Team Canada. Face off at 8 o'clock, ESPN, ESPN Plus, and all that. Again, if you missed our conversation with Wino, you get it podcast after the show on the Odyssey app and or the Team980.com. The Four Nations Face Off is waking up not only the hockey world, but also the gambling world. According to different sports books and different media reports, one specific to ESPN, DraftKings says its four most bet hockey games of the year have been from the Four Nations tournament. FanDuel says that the Four Nations contest are averaging over six times as many bets as an average NHL game this Saturday. All right, Victor Wembanyama has been ruled out for the rest of the season by the San Antonio Spurs. Again, that is the regular season and the playoffs, with a diagnosis of deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder. He participated in NBA All-Star Weekend but was diagnosed as soon as he came back. The Milwaukee Bucks open up the second half of the NBA season here in Washington tomorrow night against the Wizards, but they'll be without Bobby Portis. He's suspended 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy, and that's what's trending. All right, let's get out to the phone lines. As we approach 2:40 here on a Thursday afternoon, we're free and clear guest-wise for the rest of the way with you until 4 o'clock. Lynell Willingham at that point, instead of Craig Hoffman, who's on his way to warm Phoenix, Arizona. Got to be warmer in Phoenix than it is here, I tell you that much. It was cold as you know what this morning. All right, let's get out to it on the phones. We'll mix it up. Obviously, we'll talk about anything that we've covered. The Four Nations face-off. Victor Wembanyama out for the year. Little caps. Some NBA news that we mentioned. In addition to Wembanyama, LeBron James last night. I think he's like one of 29 from the floor as a Laker in the last 5 seconds or less. I saw that number this morning. I should have wrote it down. I'll try and find it. But he missed two shots in the final 5 seconds last night from three-point land. That was interesting because the Lakers have now lost to two horrible teams sandwiched around the NBA All-Star break, Utah and Charlotte, who, again, the Wizards have beaten three in a row. NBA second part of the season begins in earnest tonight. You got the Four Nations face-off, as we mentioned. You've got a little bit of NFL news. And I just mentioned the Micah Parsons-Lawrence Taylor thing. Maybe it's not that big of a deal, but I found it interesting because a lot of people are reacting harshly towards LT. How dare he criticize Micah Parsons when he was, you know, he was suspended multiple times. I've battled drugs all his life, or, you know, for a large part of his adult life. Was caught with prostitutes and all that stuff a couple of years ago. I mean, laundry list of things. How dare you criticize? I think he was criticizing just because he doesn't understand how today's athletes communicate. And trust me, from somebody who's 51, I don't relate to today's athletes very well all the time either. But I understand it more because I'm immersed in it and I have to deal with it and I have to sort of embrace it or sort of understand it because that's what I deal with. So what did you make out of that criticism? 301-230-0980. Let's get to Mark in Largo here on the Team 980. What up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
What's going on, Mark?
First thing I'm going to say is, this is a talk of two different generations. You're talking about generation, the baby boomers, which Lawrence Taylor is in. And I would say Micah is in either Generation Z, part millennial, more or less Generation Z or something like that. It's a no-win situation for Lawrence Taylor, even if he was correct in what his point was made. I understood where he was coming from. You understood where he was coming from. But it doesn't really matter because it is what it is on that point. I wanted to ask you about, and Chris, I want to say this. I wish more people in this area would adopt your theory on what you said about Myles Garrett last week. And no one seems to be doing that. If people are still talking about Myles Garrett, they really need to listen to your show and how you laid it all out. But there's no way in hell we're going to get them.
Oh, I appreciate that. And yeah, I think people like don't ignore largely the salary cap because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
And it's complicated. Right. I mean, it's not easy for me to understand in a lot of cases, but I think that's why. You know, there's also a lot of loud voices that say you can do whatever you want to the salary cap. It doesn't matter. It's an imaginary thing, and that's not true.
And this is not fantasy football. This is real football. This is not fantasy football. So that's a totally different story. Yeah. But here's what I wanted to say. I know a lot of people in the last few weeks have been talking about Khalil Mack. I got someone better who I think they could get, and they can also get Josh Sweat along with it.
Okay.
They
should
have the Eagles front line edge rushers that they had in 22 on this team starting in 25. In 23, starting in 25. go get Hassan Reddick, and you could probably get him a lot cheaper than you would Khalil Mack, and then I would go get Josh Sweat. If you get those two, I think you're getting a guy in Josh Sweat who's younger than Myles Garrett. You're getting someone in Hassan Reddick who really is young and his age, because he really didn't do anything last year with the Jets.
Right, right.
You give him a contract extension,
mm-hmm.
and you go, and like I said this last week, you build up the offensive and defensive lines through free agency. Would it be nice to get Darius Slayton? Sure. Would it be nice to get Deebo Samuel if he's cut? Sure. Go get him. And then you just go from there. And on the offensive side, Staley, of course. And then, Chris, bring back an oldie but goodie, Morgan Moses.
Morgan Moses is a name that I've kicked around in my mind. I don't know how much he's got left in his tank. But if you're going to keep him for depth, right, say – now, would your plan be bring back Morgan Moses, let go Cornelius Lucas, or would you be like keep both of those guys?
No. You got to let Lucas go. If you bring Morgan Moses in, here's what I would do on the offensive line side. You get Staley, move Brandon Coleman in. Make him a left guard. I would either get Moses and then draft a right tackle. Draft two tackles, Big Zach. One, if you want to get one in the first round or in the second and third round.
Let go of Wiley. Let go of Lucas. Sign Ronnie Stanley. Move Coleman inside. Right. You have Allegretti as depth.
Right. And then maybe you
don't
get
hate
Will
that.
Anderson. And Will Anderson, who's also a former guy. Here's the other thing Washington can get. And you probably can start talking about this now. Do you think Christian Kirk is going to be a cap hit in Jacksonville?
I mentioned it twice yesterday. And actually, I didn't think about it until John Kime mentioned it. But, yeah, I mentioned it a couple of times yesterday. Absolutely. I think that that's a possibility because, they've got a new staff there, obviously. Don't know what their evaluation is on him. He makes a lot of money. But if they cut him, which a possibility, he ain't going to be making that same amount of money. Now, if you trade for him, that's a different story.
Well, here's the deal. You could get him, and then you can get Deebo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them will be cut candidates. You're saving a lot of money for that. Now, if you still want to get a wide receiver in the draft, that's fine. I have no problem. That's fine. But if Adam does this the right way, you could build a lot of weapons for Jaden on the offensive side. I still think Aaron Taylor or Najee Harris would be a good fit because, as far as running, or the kid Dowdle.
Rico Dowdell, who we talked about yesterday. We talked about Aaron Jones yesterday. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And real quickly, because I'm running out of time, I wanted to go back to what you said about Hassan Reddick. I got to be honest with you. I mean, Hassan Reddick's a very good pass rusher when his head squared on straight, whatever. Last year rubbed me way, 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 way the wrong way. I can't do that.
I totally agree with you. That's why I say you're not going to have to pay that much to get him.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people are going to spend that much money for him. Here's the thing. If you get him when he plays, he's a beast.
I hear you. But I don't know how little money you think he's going to make. Now, maybe there'll be no market because everybody was turned off by him. But, I mean, he was making $15 million a year. And – he is 31. He is 31. So, I mean, there's some age concern there, but he's not 33 or 34. I still think Hassan Reddick is going to make a healthy amount of money.
So you think he's going to make more than Khalil Mack?
Yes, I do. Yes. Okay. Because Khalil Mack is going to be a one, maybe two-year type deal. Reddick is probably going to want a three-year contract, maybe more, probably.
Right.
In the neighborhood of $15 million a year on average. Maybe that's wishful thinking because of how he handled it last year. I'm telling you, I would be majorly turned off to that dude no matter what he's got left in the tank because of how he handled last year. I that's just me. I know teams don't operate exactly like that, but that's just me.
You might be right about that, Chris. You might be right. But let me ask you this. Last one. Mariota, I would love to see Marcus Mariota come back.
Yep,
but I
agree.
I do know there may be some people that may offer him a 2 or 3 year deal to get him. If they don't get him, would Trey Lance be an obvious backup? You can get he could learn the system And then maybe he could, you know, just in case, I think he would be a logical backup, either him or Huntley. And, but I think Miami is trying desperately to get Mariota because they don't trust Tua. And
well,
they think that that
I'll just leave you with this. And Mark, I appreciate the phone call. As always, it's jam packed and it's good. I would just, you know, yeah. I don't know how Adam Peters feels about Trey Lance. I just don't know. Like they gambled, they traded up a lot of assets for him in San Francisco. That wasn't just a Kyle Shanahan decision. Adam Peters was involved in that. I don't know how, what his stance was, but he was involved in that. So we start there. If Adam Peters still likes him and believes in him, then yeah. If Adam Peters was way out on him, and again, part of not only him not developing, but also part of trading him so quickly, then no, you know? There was a lot to chew on in that phone call. Yeah, I'm not a Hassan Reddick guy. I mean, I love Hassan Reddick, the player. As a person, as a, like, I'm going to recklessly hold out because I just believe so much in my value that I'm not going to adhere to my contract until I force a trade, get lost. I no patience for that. In terms of a backup quarterback, I mean, obviously Darnold is not coming here. But, you know, your options are Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jacoby Brissett. You bring him back? Maybe. Maybe. I mean, Andy Dalton just resigned. You know, like, I don't think Justin Fields would be willing to come here. Hey, listen, if Jameis Winston would be willing to come here, man, do that. Sure as hell would be entertaining on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Make the turn here and squeeze in Lou on the Team 980 before the top of the hour. What up, Lou?
Hey, what's going on, Chris, man?
What's up, Lou?
I didn't know it was our obligation to know about players' contract, man. I guess you got I know you got a job to do, but at the same time, I think that was for AP and, you know, for the team to know. I mean, we just want that guy to come play for us.
Wait,
I mean,
who are we talking about?
I mean, you lecturing us about, you know, Mark giving you the Mark Twain Award for you lecturing us 45 minutes last week about the whole contract thing, you know. You know, Chris, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I'm confused. I was doing a talk show, and I was telling you why it was so problematic to trade for Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just saying, like, I didn't know that was part of our job, try to figure out how much this guy made.
Lou, what do you think we do here, man? You know better than this. Lou, why are you barking up a tree worse than Benjamin St. Juice?
Nah, dude, like, what I'm saying is I didn't know that was, like, my obligation to know. That's for the team to figure that out. For me, it's like I want that guy, if whatever it costs to get him and find a way to get him. But if not, and then if it doesn't work, and then I get it. I understand.
You're
that.
Right. It's up for the team to figure out. But it's my job to tell you beyond the obvious, which is, duh, of course everybody wants Myles Garrett. Of course everybody should inquire about Myles Garrett. But here's why a trade for Myles Garrett is not very likely, if at all possible. I mean, that's my job. You know that.
Yeah. I get that. I'm just saying, like,
quickly move on because I'm running out of time and also a little bit of patience. So go ahead.
A little bit of patience.
Yes.
You run out of time. That's crazy because I have a lot of things to say. And one thing is that this game tonight really don't mean a crap to me because what's going on in our politics and this country was, have you been listening, Chris? People losing their jobs and people
yes.
out there protesting.
Yes,
about,
I'm aware. I mean, what, I'm aware. I'm aware.
I get it. I get it. People care about games and things like that, the gambling, blah, blah. But people are out here losing lives.
Yeah.
Man. People are, these the new regime out here cutting people's like.
Well, listen, Lou, I can't. I'm going to jump in here and just tell you, I can't really get into all of that. We're not allowed to talk politics, okay? I mean, it's divisive. It doesn't serve our audience. Our audience is looking for a break from it. It obviously comes up USA Canada because of the booing and a lot of political things that are going on. To me, that's why I said, or one of the reasons why I said, but it's true, One of the reasons why I said I'm just hoping for great hockey. And I don't really care who wins. I'll root for Team USA because I'm a U.S. native. That's it. I won't be heartbroken or any sort of way. And that's a sports slash life cultural thing, not a political thing. But then you throw in some of the political hell in a handbasket stuff, you know, and yeah, I mean, I can't acknowledge that they didn't boo the national anthem, right? And part of that is because, well, there's politics at play, again, that I'm not really allowed to kind of discuss, and nor should I because I'm not an expert on it. I'm barely an expert on what I need to be an expert on, never mind that. 3 o'clock in the nation's capital and beyond. Always live and free on the Odyssey app. Hour number three, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.